Now, I wonder who here remembers that fantastic TV program, Family Fortunes. Do you remember it? Yeah, a few people have got their hands up. And I don't know who the presenter was for you. Maybe during your time it was Bob Monkhouse. Hey, Bob Monkhouse, remember that? Or Max Bygraves? Les Dennis was the one that used to host it when I was growing up, but more recently Andy Collins, or maybe right up to date, Gina DeCampo. Now, I've got some chocolates here for anybody who can tell me the name of the computer that gave the answers and did the noise when it was the wrong answer. Can anybody remember what the computer was called? Ah, oh, looks like I've got some chocolates to myself. It was Mr. Babbage, named after Charles Babbage, who pioneered the programmable computer. I thought some of you compute a lot, or math teachers might have known that, but there we go. Guess standards are slipping. Well, 100 people were surveyed, and they were asked to name the top most broken promises of all time. And I'm going to see if you can guess what any of those were. So, Shannon, remember it's a family program, so please be careful what you shout out, won't you? So, what do you think?
I'll get up with the baby tonight.
Pardon?
I'll get up with the baby tonight.
I'll get up with the baby tonight. We are running a marriage counselling course, if that's appropriate, sometime next year. Yeah. What else?
I'll tidy my bedroom today, Mum.
I'll tidy my bedroom today, Mum. Yes, the most broken promise of all time if you have teenage children. I'll do my homework this afternoon. From a young man who's never uttered that and not followed through on it. Yes. What else?
I must stick to my diet.
I must stick to my diet. Yeah, that was a very good one. Somebody else back then?
Till death do us part.
Yeah, you've got all of them. I'll give you a call in 5 minutes' time, or I'll be there in 5 minutes. The cheque is in the post, or as it's known as today, I'll do the bank transfer when I get home. You're right, the marriage vows. So I promise to love you, be faithful to you until death us do part. Or what about this one this time of year? Your package will arrive sometime between 9 and 10. No, if you're lucky, it'll arrive about 7 p.m. and it'll be chucked over your garden gate. When I was preparing for this message and Googling some ideas about promises, I came across the following piece of advice when it comes to promises. And the advice was this: the best way to make sure that you never break a promise is to never make a promise in the first place. So the advice is just don't make any promises. But I'm not sure about that though. You know, what kind of world would we live in if nobody ever made promises and kept them? I wonder what the best promise you may have made and then delivered on, kept that promise. Or perhaps the best promise that you ever received that was delivered on. Anybody want to say what that might be? A promise you made and then delivered on? Getting up with a baby tonight, maybe, Marianne? Yeah, possibly. What else? Anybody want to say? I'll do my homework this afternoon. Is that a promise you kept, Matt? It is, yeah, fantastic. Great. That's good to hear.
Promise to love and cherish me.
To love and cherish. Tony, there you go. I hope you've got a good present tomorrow.
Great check.
Great check, yes. Well, one of my friends, one of the best promises that was ever kept in regards to me was one of my friends, and I'm sure we've got some many England football fans out there in the congregation tonight. One of my friends promised to get me all of England's group matches at the 2002 World Cup in Japan. That's quite a promise, isn't it? He was living in Japan at the time, I might add. Well, the first problem was that I didn't think my friend would be able to get them. I didn't think he was going to be able to deliver on that promise. The second problem was that when he did get them, and he offered me them for free, was going to arrange to fly me over to Tokyo first class with his air miles, put me up in his apartment in Tokyo for the duration of the World Cup. And then the third, even bigger problem, was that by the time my friend had told me this, I couldn't get time off work, so I wasn't able to go. Oh, I hear you say, yes. The best promise ever delivered on, but I was unable to reap the rewards of. And for my consolation, I now have in a little frame somewhere in a box in the loft all the tickets of the England matches with my name on them. All I can say as a further consolation is that I didn't have to witness in person the heartbreak of Ronaldinho's free kick that went over David Seaman's head. Do you think he meant to do that? No, he didn't, that's right. He didn't mean to do that. Now, the reason why I've been talking about promises this evening is because at Christmas we remember and we celebrate the fulfillment of the greatest promise that's ever been made in the history of promises. Over 2,700 years ago, an Old Testament prophet called Isaiah, for the land of Israel, wrote these promises where he foretold of a future event that would have infinite and eternal significance for all of mankind. He said, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign over his kingdom from the throne of his ancestor David, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The thing is, God didn't just make this one promise in relation to sending his son into this world, but he made many promises through many ancient prophets. Many of these promises were very specific in their nature and circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth, all of which were beyond his control. For example, the prophet Micah said that the Savior of the world would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah said that he would be born of a virgin. The book of Genesis said that he would be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Samuel and Isaiah said that he would be related to King David. And it was Isaiah who said he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The very name used by the angel when Joseph was told about his fiancée giving birth to the Saviour of the world. And some of these foretelling words of promises were made thousands of years ago. God's promise given through the prophet Isaiah, they were given around 700 years before the events of that first Christmas took place that we are here to celebrate tonight. In fact, the word Advent literally means coming. And for those ancient people in the Bible, there'd been thousands of years of patiently waiting. 700 years since God gave that promise through the prophet Isaiah that the long-awaited Savior would arrive. And it's calculated that there are approximately 400 years from the last utterances of God's prophets in the Old Testament to the arrival of the baby Jesus in the stable at Bethlehem. 400 years of silence from God. 400 years of waiting for those promises to be delivered on. I can imagine if we'd have been in their sandals, there may well have been a few times when we doubted that God's ancient promises would ever be fulfilled. I mean, it was centuries ago, after all. How do we even know some bloke called Isaiah even existed? Perhaps he just made it up. Perhaps Isaiah didn't really exist anyway. Maybe it's all just fairy tale stuff. Maybe God did promise that once, but he's forgotten about it now, or maybe he even changed his mind. It's a bit like how we approach some of those unfulfilled promises we might expect today. You know, I'll give you a call about it later. I'll tidy my bedroom tomorrow. The money will be in your account by the end of the week. Your package will arrive sometime today between 9 and 3 p.m. Of course, the promotion is yours. This sermon will only be 12 minutes long. I will love you and be faithful to you for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death us do part. There were definitely no parties and absolutely no COVID rules were broken whatsoever. There will be no tax rises, and you can have the confidence in us to sort out this cost of living crisis. This is merely a short, special military operation and no civilians will be targeted. Yes, indeed, many of us have experienced the frustration, anger, and perhaps hurt caused by unfulfilled promises. But God's foretelling promises, given through the ancient prophets, were 100% fulfilled through the events and circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Isaiah alone gave about 40 prophetic promises of God concerning the first coming of Jesus, all of which were completely fulfilled, completely delivered on. In addition to those I just mentioned, the ancient promises said that the Messiah, said of the Messiah, that his message would be not believed, that he would be rejected by his people. that he would be silent before his accusers. He would be put to death for people's sins. That by his wounds we would be healed. That he would be buried in a rich man's grave, and that he would be raised from the dead. All of these promises foretold 700 years before Jesus was even born. And like the many broken experiences of many broken promises that we have in our lives today, not so with the promises of God. King David, who was Jesus' 41 times removed great granddad, mentioned there in that famous passage from Isaiah, said this of God's promises. He said, God always keeps his promises and is faithful in all he does. God always keeps his promises and he is faithful in all he does. Now this is comprehensively demonstrated in the life, the ministry and the birth of Jesus that we are gathered here this evening to celebrate. I believe that the birth of Jesus was the greatest fulfilled promise of all time. A clear and dependable demonstration that there is a living God. And he has spoken in the Bible. He means what he says. And he will do all that he has promised. The promise that he, the maker of man, would himself become man. The promise that he, the ruler of the stars, might be nourished at the breast. The promise that he, the bread, might be hungry. The promise that he, the fountain, might be thirsty. The promise that he, the light, might sleep. The promise that he, the way, might be wearied by the journey. The promise that he, the truth, might be falsely accused. The promise that he, the judge of the living and the dead, might be brought to trial by a mortal judge. The promise that he, justice, might be condemned by the unjust. The promise that he, discipline, might be scourged with whips. The promise that he, the foundation, might be suspended on a cross. The promise that he, courage, might be weakened. The promise that he, security, might be wounded. And the promise that he, the life, might die for your sake. A promise that by his death, we would know the way back to knowing God personally.